13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That concludes our scripture reading this morning.
Thank you, Paul. Morning, church. Good to see you out this morning. It's kind of strange, that liquid stuff in the air. You know, you have to take a deep breath when you go outside. We're not like being fish underwater, but it's great to see that rain. Man, I was glad to hear the pitter-pat this morning on the roof even. It's already been announced Brad and Reb is going to be here next weekend. Do not forget, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He has some fantastic topics. You are going to enjoy this guy, I promise you. Find somebody, bring them. There's a few more flyers left. If you need a reminder, we will do so. He will be here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In response to a student's question about how it is that a successor to the Pope is chosen, the teacher just was pretty much giving the reader's digest version of the story. And he concluded it by saying, and it's all up to the cardinals who make that choice. One student in the back raised his hand and he said, "Why would anybody let a baseball team choose the Pope?" You know, when I thought of that, I thought that's pretty cheesy. It's a pretty lame story, and then I thought it's really not. You're going to see as we get into the lesson this morning, there was a time in our life when that discussion could have taken place anywhere and people would have understand the difference in one group of cardinals and another. But frankly, today in our world, there's very little knowledge of any different. Doesn't matter where you are in life, it's sort of like life has been dumbed down in several ways. The Pew Forum in 2014 conducted a very in-depth, I mean, you'd have to say very, very, very in-depth study of believers in America. Louis Hugo is the director of that Pew Forum, and he says Americans are very open to various paths to heaven. Every individual, he says, believe they have their own interpretation of the Bible, and they believe they have a right to their own interpretation. And it doesn't really matter too much what that interpretation is. For those, it sounds a little bit like the proclamation of Pope Francis. I remember I was shocked when I read this. He said, "For those who do not believe in God, they just need to obey their conscience and they will get to heaven." The group he was addressing was a group of atheists, a group of people who did not believe in God at all. And yet the instruction is simply to follow your conscience and somehow they will get to heaven. Ross Douthat points out in A Real Clear View, and he's talking about Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. Some of you remember a few years ago that was popular, the angels and demons, books like that. He says all religions have the potential to be wonderful so long as they don't believe in any particular one of them as being true. That was the New York Times. Also, for millions of readers, Dan Brown's novels helped smooth over the difference between first century fundamental Christianity and modern Christianity. Again, the New York Times. From Jesus' own words, you can have him, or you can have Dan Brown's version of him, but you cannot have both. A few core elements of this new Christianity goes like this. A central goal in life is to be happy. The whole reason that we're here in the world is to be happy individuals, to feel good about myself, and to be free of problems. God does not need to really be particularly involved in my life unless there's a problem that I reach in my life that I can't handle, and then I need to give God a call, and he needs to come and fix it. Another core belief is all good people go to heaven when they die. We talked about this some degree in depth, and we won't go back into that. It simply say that the idea of most of the world is, well, when you die, if you were a good person, more good than bad, you automatically go to heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is addressing eternity. He takes and gets a group of people. They're out on the side of a hill, and it says they sat down, then he sits down, and he opened his mouth, and he began to teach them things. And one of the things that he was trying to get across to them was how it is that you get to heaven. It seems like that would be automatic, right? But not so. Our text, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, that is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those that find it are few. It doesn't take a book. It doesn't take a movie to understand that Jesus is drawing a comparison. He often did this by contrasting one thing here and one thing there. He's contrasting two destinations, one with eternal life, one with eternal death or separation from God. When he talks about the gate that you take, you choose this gate, the gate you choose determines your eternity. It is a conscious decision. When he says, enter the gate, it's a decision that I must make because my mind is involved. It's not in neutral. As he talks about here in Matthew chapter 7, these are commands, not suggestions. Enter by the narrow gate. If we never read any further, what would we know? It's two gates, right? We never read anything before, never read anything after. We know there's two gates. And he says, enter in by the narrow gate. By that fact, there would be another gate. This is what people often think of as going to heaven. They think of just two roads. You probably can't read that sign if you're in the cheap seats back there, but it says this way to heaven and the other way says this way to heaven. It really doesn't matter. That's how the world views the paths in life, or something like this. There's nothing about being narrow. There's nothing about being wide. There's just a path over here and a path over here, and as we'll see when we get down to the end of the story, there's a lot of paths. And they're all going to lead to the same place. Definite action is taken if you listen to Jesus. Just pretend that we're on the side of the mountain and Jesus is talking to us. Definite, positive action that's conscious must be taken if we're thinking about eternity with God. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount was written to Jews, some of whom didn't believe heaven exists. It's always amazed me. Of all the things that there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So Jesus is talking to an audience like many in our world today, only they were religious people and claimed to be followers of God in some way. I've never figured it out. The Sermon on the Mount is not just a nice speech. It's not just well written. It's not well thought out. Not just something to admire. Matthew, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, enter the narrow gate. That means it's not automatic. It's not by osmosis. I don't get there because I'm an American. I don't even get there because I attended church all my life. By the way, probably a good portion of Jesus' audience as he's speaking to these people on the hillside that day would have said his statement was religiously and politically incorrect. They would have simply said, don't you know that all Jews are going to heaven? I mean, we're the chosen people. Come on. How is it you don't get it? The rest of us get it. God promised us we're Jews, we're chosen, we're going. Jesus is discussing that in this thought when he talks about the narrow gate. I think the fact that he says it's narrow suggests that it takes some effort to locate the gate. It's not just any gate. It's not finding the big gate. It's enter the narrow gate. I think there's a determination to go through the gate. It's not you're going to fall in the gate. Someone's going to push you in the gate. You have to take it upon yourself to be determined to enter the gate. He'll say in John 10, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he'll go in and out and find pasture. I understand in the context, he's talking about sheep going in and out. But he's also talking about in the context, he's the door. And if you're going to get in and out to good pasture and back to safety, it's through him. Jesus made the way narrow without checking with any of us. I'm the slowest one in the crowd, Rusty, but it dawned on me this week. He didn't ask me. Larry, did he ask you? He didn't ask Larry either. He didn't ask any of us about making the way narrow or wide.